Madhavam Kunjavihariṁ Gopijanavallabham Girivaradhariṁ Gopijanavallabham Girivaradhariṁ Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jashoda Nandana Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada 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 Anityai Gaura Haribol 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 Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Sotara Sata Sisimat His Divine Grace Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prince Gosse Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhanki Ganga Maiki Jamuna Maiki, Tulasi Devi Maharaniki, Gaura Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, so reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Third canto, chapter 13, text 25. Nisamyate griharitam swakedam. Nisamyate griharitam swakedam. Kshajishnu mayat maya sukarasyam. Janastapaha satya nivashinaste Tribihi pavitrair munnayogrinam sma Nisamyate grahagaritam swakedam Kshajishnu maya maya sukarasya Janastapaha satya nivashinaste Tribihi pavitrair munayogrinam sma Okay, anyone wants to try? Difficult verse, go ahead. Samyate grihgraritam svakedam. Kashisnu maya maya sukarasya. Janastapaha satya nivashinaste. Tribihi pavitra munayo grinansma. Anybody else? Okay. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All right, we'll read now the word by word translation. Nissamya, just after hearing. Te, those, graharitam, the tumultuous sound, swakeda, personal lamentation, shajishnu, destroying, maya maya, all merciful, sukarasya, of Lord Bor, yanaha, the Janaloka planet, the Tapaha, the Tapoloka planet, Satya, the Satyaloka planet, Nivashinaha, residents, Te, all of them, Tribihi, from the three Vedas, Pavitrai, by the all auspicious mantras. Munayaha, great thinkers and sages. Agrinansma, chanted. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When the great sages and thinkers who are residents of Janaloka, Tapoloka, and Satyaloka heard the tumultuous voice of Lord Bor, which was the all auspicious sound of the all merciful Lord, they chanted auspicious chants from the three Vedas. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The word maya, maya, is very significant in this verse. Maya means mercy, specific knowledge, and also illusion. Therefore, Lord Bor is everything. He is merciful, he is all knowledge, and he is illusion also. The sound which he vibrated as the Bor incarnation was answered by the Vedic hymns of the great sages in the planets Janaloka, Tapoloka, and Satyaloka. The highest intellectual and pious living entities live in those planets, and when they heard the extraordinary voice of the Bor, they could understand that the specific sound was vibrated by the Lord and no one else. Therefore, they replied by praying to the Lord with Vedic hymns. The earth planet was submerged in the mire, but on hearing the sound of the Lord, the inhabitants of the higher planets were all jubilant because they knew that the Lord was there to deliver the earth. Therefore, Brahma and all the sages such as Bhrigu, Brahma's other sons and learned Brahmanas were enlivened, and they concertedly joined in praising the Lord with the transcendental vibrations of the Vedic hymns. The most important is the Brihan Naradiya Purana verse, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm sorry. That is all. It's concluded here. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. What is it?
The sources of the Mahamantra.
Yeah, the Brihan Naradiya Purana is the source. Kali Santara. Well, this is what is written here on the text. Yeah. I think there was some editing to the books themselves, but this is what the original text is. So the most important is the Brihan Naradiya Purana. That's what Prabhupada said, actually. That is from another Upanishad, but anyway. This Purana, Brihan Naradiya Purana, says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All right. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutalesh. Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Sunjavadi Paschatyade Satarine. Om Magyanate Mirandasya Yanangyana Shalakaya Chakshurom Militam Vinaya Taismai Sri Gurave Namaha. I offer my humble and respectful obeisances and to the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has forced to open my eyes with torch-like knowledge. So I'll read the translation again. It's a very interesting verse, actually, that we will elaborate. Actually, Prabhupada did a beautiful job with the purport, and I'll just try to elaborate on the purport. So the translation again, when the great sages and thinkers who are residents of Janaloka, Tapoloka, and Satyaloka, I guess he's referring to Janaloka, the planet of Jnana, of knowledge. Tapoloka would be the planet where there is penance, where there is a lot of tapasya, Tapoloka, and Satyaloka, the planet of goodness. When those residents heard the tumultuous voice of Lord Bord, which was the all-auspicious sound of the all-merciful Lord, they chanted auspicious chants from the three Vedas. Now, for me, the appearance of Lord Varaha, the form of this beautiful deity, will always be connected with the beginnings when I became a devotee in Berkeley, at New Jagannath Puri. I was a student at the time. I was actually about to finish. I actually finished my thesis on film, and then I became a devotee shortly after that. And then we moved into the temple, my wife and myself, Berkeley Temple. And what happened, for whatever reason, we were living in one of the houses near the temple, just two houses down from the temple. It was owned by the Ishkon Temple. It happened that it burned down for some reason. I don't know exactly the cause, but that house burned down. It was a beautiful house. So we had to move out of the house and moved into the actual temple because there was no place for us to stay. So myself, my wife, and our little baby, Subhadra, moved into the temple. And so I was given a place at the Brahmachari Ashram, but I didn't like to stay with so many people staying at the Brahmachari Ashram. So I used to sleep right in the temple room in front of the Vyasasana of Srila Prabhupada, just the Vyasasana, just similar to the one we have here, very similar actually. The murti is probably about the same size, same type of murti, and was on one side of the temple, and across from Srila Prabhupada was a beautiful diorama, a beautiful murti actually, three-dimensional bas-relief of Lord Varaha fighting with Hiranyaksha. So I used to sleep right there in the middle of the temple room. I would put my sleeping bag down and I would sleep there every night. And I did that for months. And then the next morning I would go on Sankirtan or do my service. I had different service. One of them was to produce music concerts. So I produced many music concerts at New Jagannath Puri. Among them, we produced many concerts by he was also my teacher, drum teacher, who just passed away. His name is Sakir Hussain. I don't know if you have heard of him, but anyway, Sakir, he was our music teacher at the school. I used to run a school at the temple, and then we used to have music concerts. And Sakir, he would invite many of his friends, very famous musicians, including his father, Ala Raka. So they did many concerts there, and I would produce their concerts. So I would just go to sleep at night, right in front between Srila Prabhupada and Lord Varaha. And I would have all these dreams that went through my mind, because whenever I would turn, I would see Lord Varaha in my dreams. So of course, the temple room is never really totally dark, so you could always see the deities and the murtis. So I became very affectionate towards this deity of Lord Varaha. In fact, one of my computers, the computers that I use for all my recordings, the screensaver is this diorama bas relief of Lord Varaha fighting Hiranyaksha. So I've been meditating on that for a long time now, because every time I open my computer, I see Lord Varaha fighting Hiranyaksha. So let's look at the purport that Prabhupada mentions here, trying to explain the verse. It's very interesting. It says, the word maya is very significant in this verse. Maya means mercy, a specific knowledge, and also illusion. So Prabhupada is trying to give us a hint that this incarnation of Lord Varaha is a teaching for us. It's all about learning the fact that he took birth, or he appeared in this universe in order to free us from Hiranyaksha, from this demon who had taken the gold from the earth. And because gold is a very valuable mineral and also is very heavy, so when Hiranyaksha took the gold out of the planet, then the planet fell into the causal ocean and was just lying down there. And so that's what demons do. Demons are interested in gold and in a way to enjoy, in order to enjoy their sense gratification, their senses. Basically, that's what it is. In order to enjoy your senses, you gotta have gold, you gotta have money. You wanna capture that Lakshmi through illegal means, so to speak, against the Supreme Lord. But it is a pastime, it is a lila, is what Prabhupada is saying here, is an illusion. What is an illusion? An illusion, the ultimate illusion is, as we know today, in contemporary terms, is a film, it's a movie, it's a video. Vishnu is looking at Prakriti, material energy, and is creating a movie with his eyes, right? And so in all movies, as we know from studying the theory of film, there are two basic teachings that some filmmakers follow, but one of them is that in all movies, the protagonist, the main character, the main protagonist, so to speak, is first introduced in the movie, and then there is something that needs to be changed, something that is either a flaw in the character or there is something that needs to be corrected in that scene. And so it goes through a very difficult circumstance, it's like a circle kind of, goes through a difficult circumstance which is created by an antagonist. If there is no antagonist, if there is no conflict, the movie is not a very good movie. People will walk out. It's like, what a movie, it's a bad movie. Because there is no antagonist, there is no conflict, there is no struggle. And so this material world is like that, it's like a movie. And it needs a protagonist, that's Krishna, he's the protagonist of all the movies. And then it needs an antagonist. But who can be the antagonist of Krishna to be believable? In order to be an antagonist, has to be a very powerful antagonist, and Krishna doesn't just fight anybody, because who can fight God? I mean, he couldn't fight God, it's not possible. So usually Krishna sends one of his associates or someone that he is gonna fight with him and have a big fight. And so in this case was Hiranyaksha. He was one of the servants of Krishna, of Vishnu actually, in the spiritual world. And he was one of the guards of the gates of heaven. So he was basically cursed by the Kumaras in order to take birth in this universe, in the material world. You probably all know the story how the Kumaras went to heaven and the guards didn't allow them to enter into heaven because they said, who are you? You are just children. Why are you supposed to be here? And the Kumaras cursed them and said, well, don't you think that Lord Vishnu would know this? Don't you think that Lord Vishnu allow us to come here to the spiritual world. So there must be a flaw in your character. Therefore, we curse you to go down to the material world. So that is the antagonist of this film. This, in order to create the illusion is it is all an illusion. That there is someone other more powerful than God. That there is always that maybe it is true that we don't have to follow the teachings. We don't have to surrender to God. You know, maybe there is this idea in our minds that maybe we can overcome God. We can win over the protagonist. And so the movies, the real good movies, are the ones where the protagonist is almost vanquished, is almost going to die or pass, or the antagonist, the bad person in the movie, the bad guy, is about to win. But then it happens that there is a reversal, and I think all the great theoreticians of film agree that there is always at the end of the movie, usually the climax of the movie, there is a reversal. And that reversal, in this case, the earth is about to disappear into the mud, is going to go into the mire, and is never going to come back out. And the demigods don't know what to do. Lord Brahma doesn't know what to do. Everybody's lost. But then there is a reversal. And that reversal is that Lord Varaha appeared and changed the circumstance of that movie. And so what he did is he fought. He was the only one who could fight such a powerful antagonist, which was Hiranyaksha. So Srila Prabhupada says that, therefore, Lord Bord is everything. He's merciful. He's all knowledge, and he is illusion also. The sound which he vibrated as the Bord incarnation was answered by the Vedic hymns of the great sages in the planets Janaloka, Tapoloka, and Satyaloka. So when God comes into this universe, he comes always with a sound. If he comes as Lord Nrisimhadev, he comes with a big roar, the roar of a lion. In this case, in the sound of a boar. And when he came as Lord Krishna, he came personally playing on his flute. So sound vibration or vibrational energy is at the basis of the material universe, is always the basis of it. And Krishna, God, he is actually the source of that sound. He is the source. Not that the sound is the source of Krishna, but Krishna is the source of the sound. When he came as Krishna and played on his flute, he's still playing on his flute. So that the source of the sound of the flute of Krishna is Krishna himself, comes from his prana, from his air, comes from his navel, comes from his being. The will of Krishna is the one, thank you. The will of Krishna is the one who creates that music, and the music is what creates the universe, right? As we know, he gives the knowledge to Lord Brahma by the sound of his flute in order to create the universe. So in this case, Lord Varaha came, and he was shouting or created a sound that was wondrous. And immediately, the great sages recognized that the Supreme Lord had appeared, and they were going to, and the Supreme Lord was going to save the earth from the hands of Hiranyaksha. So now, in those planets, Prabhupada said that the highest intellectual and pious living entities live in those planets, and when they heard the extraordinary voice of the board, they could understand that the specific sound was vibrated by the Lord and no one else. In other words, that only very great, great sages can understand that sound vibration, that beautiful sound that Krishna comes, but that Krishna makes. But that beautiful music that he's making, either with his flute or with his voice or with his throat or whatever, how it is not ordinary. It's not a sound that will come out of nowhere that anybody else could make. It's just not possible. No one can make that sound, because that sound is not from this dimensional planet system. But it comes into our perception. And the great sages, those who have studied the Vedas, or the sages that understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that they have this realization that there is an anti-material world beyond this material world, those sages that understand that, that have realized that, then they can hear that sound. And I'll tell you just a little story on the side. When I was just, again, beginning student of the Vedas, and I became a devotee early on, and I was just coming into the temple. And I was a student also of the flute, of Bansuri. And there was a devotee named, he was a Srila Prabhupada disciple, also, he was a bass player, very famous bass player. He traveled all over the world playing with very famous bands, and he was very, very good, well-known bass player, and a devotee. And he wanted to make an album for Srila Prabhupada chanting Hare Krishna. He had all these beautiful melodies he had composed, and he invited me to play in one of his recordings, and I was just a flute beginner student, so to speak, of the flute. And at the time, I used to play not only the bansuri, but I also used to play the silver flute. I used to play jazz. And he said, yeah, you come and play. I said, well, I don't know if I can play good enough to play in your album. I mean, you know, you have invited very famous musicians, and I don't know if I can do this. I'm just beginning. He said, no, you'll play just fine, just come. So I went to the recording studio, and it was my time to put the flute tracks down. So they put the headphones on, I was listening to the melodies, and I was trying to play along with these melodies. And I finished. And the sound engineer came. This was a very high-end studio in San Francisco, very expensive. And the sound engineer comes, looks at me, and said, who invited this musician here? He doesn't even know how to play. This terrible music. What are you doing? This is a very expensive studio, and this is unusable. It's terrible. I said, you cannot use that. Come back tomorrow, bring someone else, and see maybe they can put a flute track down. So we went home, and in the car, I said, Hashtakari, I'm sorry that I played this flute track. I'm sorry, I told you I'm just a beginning student of the flute. And he said, just come back tomorrow. Don't worry. Krishna will help you. Why don't you meditate on Krishna? Tomorrow you'll do better. So I went home, and I was just meditating, how can I do this? You know, I was like totally embarrassed about it, actually. And I opened one of the books, I believe it's in the Bhagavad Gita, and there is Krishna playing on his flute, and in this picture, there is a calf that is listening to Krishna. I can just see it right this second. There is almost to fall to the ground because he's in so much ecstasy listening to Krishna's flute. And I thought, wow, what kind of sound must Krishna be making, what kind of music, that the calf is about to fall to the ground? And out of nowhere, I hear a melody in my head, in my meditation, which was indescribable right now, but it was like somewhere between beautiful diamonds and golden notes that appear out of nowhere in my head. And I was in that meditation for a long time. And it happened that I recognized that some of the melody that was being played in my head was actually the melodies that Hashakari wanted me to learn. And I was just listening to it, totally perplexed about it. So anyway, the next day Hashakari came and took me back to the studio. And so they put put down that track, the flute track. So I was playing along with the recording. And I finish, and the sound engineer comes back and looks at me, said, "Who is this musician? I don't recognize him." Hasekari said, "Yeah, he's Mahesh, he's the devotee that came yesterday." I said, "What? That's not possible. He's not the same musician. It can't be." Because what I did in my recording, I tried to emulate, not that I could play what I heard in my mind, that's impossible, but I could emulate a little bit of what I heard. And what I heard, I tried to put it into the soundtrack. And the sound engineer couldn't believe that it was the same musician. So in other words, that what I'm trying to say is that by the mercy, because Lord Varaha is merciful, it's all mercy, by the mercy of a devotee, you can actually hear the sound vibration that Krishna makes either with his flute or with his roaring as a lion or his sound as a boar. You can actually get that experience because Krishna is not very far from you. Actually, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Lord, he's hiding, and he's hiding in the only place where you cannot find him. The only place where you cannot find Krishna is in your own heart. You will look for Krishna everywhere, here and there, but he's actually inside of you. He's as Paramatma. He's right there, and he's playing his flute on the banks of the river Yamuna in your heart. So if you actually meditate in silence and you pray to Lord Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, actually, if you read Krishna book, chapter 21 through 26, but especially chapter 21, is such a beautiful description of Krishna playing on his flute. If you really read it carefully and slowly, you will actually can hear Krishna playing on his flute. The description of autumn, beautiful. The rasa dance. Those two chapters of the Krishna book, they are unlimited. They are like windows to the spiritual world. Really, this is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the mercy that he's talking about in this purport. That if you read it with that intention and total faith and surrender to the words of that chapter in the Krishna book, you'll actually hear a music in your heart. So the same thing with this sound, this wondrous sound of Lord Varaha. And it could be heard by the great sages in Tapoloka, Yanaloka, and Satchaloka. And they could understand that that sound was vibrated by the Lord and no one else. Therefore, they replied by praying to the Lord with Vedic hymns. So all the inhabitants of the highest planets were all jubilant because they knew that the Lord was there to deliver the earth. Once they heard that music, that sound, which was music to their ears, they realized, now the protagonist has come back and he is going to save the earth and is going to overcome the antagonist, the bad guy, so to speak, Hiranyaksha. So they all rejoice, and they were all enlivened. Lord Brahma, Bhrigu, and Brahma's other sons were very enlivened, and they concertedly joined in praising the Lord with transcendental vibration of the Vedic hymns. And the most important is the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And why do we know that? Why do we know that this is the most important of all verses? And why do we know that the sound vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra is going to deliver us from this place of birth and death where there is the threefold miseries of life? Why? Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come, and the sound that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with was the Maha Mantra. He installed the deity of the sound of the holy name in our heart. Think about that one. So that's the sound that came with this incarnation of the Supreme Lord is the sound vibration of his name, which is non-different than the sound vibration, as we discussed previously in other classes, is the same as the sound vibration of Lord Krishna's flute. So the sound, the music created by the flute and the Maha Mantra brought to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are the same. Actually, that reminds me of that pastime of Radhanath Maharaj when he was meditating on a rock, sitting on a rock in the Ganges, and then he threw his harmonica down, and then he heard wondrous sounds, and the sounds of the harmonica falling into the water actually became the holy name, the Hare Krishna mantra. So something like that, that the sound vibration, once you get that understanding that this universe is where we live, the mature world, also there is something beyond this mature world, the spiritual universe, then we can perceive the beauty, we can realize, so to speak, that the sound vibration of Krishna's name is the same as Krishna, and that there is another universe besides this universe. That's all. That's all Prabhupada was teaching here when he came. What Prabhupada was teaching, the main central point of his teaching is that there is a material world, material, and there is an anti-material world. Let's start with that. Don't go too far away. Don't try to preach about the gopis and Krishna and the pastime with the gopis. This is a very esoteric type of pastimes. What Prabhupada came was really what his basic teachings was, that we are not this body. So let's realize that first. We are not this body, that we are spirit soul. Of course, sometimes you have to go through very difficult circumstances in order to realize that. Some people get sick, some people almost die, or different circumstances. But this is what Prabhupada came to teach us, that the material world is temporary, that is going to end at some point, but that there is hope because there is an anti-material world and we are not this body anyway. So when our body passes away, that we come into another existence, the existence of the soul. It is a realization. How do we obtain that realization? By the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada, is by the sound vibration of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay. So now we heard in previous classes, like yesterday, a very beautiful class by Mother Akuti, actually talking about the sound vibration of the roar of Lord Varaha, and the sound, how this roar is very is sometimes compared to the sounds of a mountain, of a huge mountain. The mountains also have a sound or a voice. Even the planets have a sound. The sun has a sound. It has been recorded by NASA. Actually, I heard some of these recordings, the sound vibration of the sun or Jupiter or the different planets. Even the Earth has a sound. So all the mountains have a sound. The planets have a sound. Everything is in vibration, is vibrational energy, which is the fundamentals of the universe. So everything has a sound, a beautiful sound. Anyway, do we have any questions or comments about this verse? Something to elaborate?
I often wonder, that when there's demigods that are able to see the Lord's pastime going on directly, how come they are not pure devotees? And what makes the vision of a pure devotee who is seeing the same pastimes? What is the difference between these two visions?
Okay, The only thing that I can think of, that's a very good question, thank you for asking that. But there are two different kinds of devotees of the Lord. So there are the Vajanananandis and the Gostiananandis. There is the devotees that basically they do their bhajan, they have realized this knowledge or information that we are talking about, but they don't go out and preach or tell others about Krishna consciousness. In this case, Srila Prabhupada came here to the West to give us Krishna consciousness and to preach, to tell others about Krishna consciousness by the mercy of his guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's mercy came from Gaurakishore Das Babaji as well as Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So it was the desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur to spread this movement all over the world and to tell others about Krishna. So they are preachers. They are basically people that go out to tell others about Krishna consciousness. But not all the devotees will go out and tell, and they're great devotees too. They may have realized the scriptures and so on, but it's not their calling. It's not like everybody is supposed to go out and tell others about Krishna consciousness. It's not. They may be great devotees, but they are just bhajananandis. They are in their house. They just chant Hare Krishna in their own house. I know, like Pushkar Prabhu was talking about in a class, online class that I was listening to. He said he knows a devotee around here in Gainesville that nobody knows about, but this devotee chants 84 rounds a day, and that's what he does. He's just chanting Maha Mantra all day long. And nobody knows about him. He's not telling others. Now, it is true that it is said that the most dear devotee is the one who tells others about this message of Krishna consciousness. So that is true, but it's not that everybody is called to do this kind of job, to go out there and go, you know, who is going to come all the way to New York City and live in the Bowery, step over drunkards in order to tell others about Krishna consciousness. Only a few people, you know, only Prabhupada, you know, some people very, you know, that some very advanced sages, but they have been given this job of going out. Now, because Srila Prabhupada came to the West and he did that, he is a preacher of Krishna consciousness, and in a sense, a lot of his devotees felt that way, and they are going out and tell others about Krishna consciousness. And we are all thinking, well, how can we tell others about Krishna consciousness? Because that was the mission that was given to us by Srila Prabhupada. So there is this desire by the devotees to tell others about Krishna consciousness. But in a sense, once you become a devotee, you don't really need to become a preacher and go out. The main, most important thing is your bhajan. The most important thing is that you are in connection with Krishna, that you are in touch with Krishna consciousness. Now, if you become a book distributor and you go out and distribute books because that's the job or the mission that was given to you, well, that's great. That's how you are in touch with Krishna consciousness. But in a sense, the only thing that is required is to, according to Srila Prabhupada, is to chant the holy names and chant your 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles. At least do that. And if you can do that, and if you can follow four regulative principles, and you can chant 16 rounds, then you can ask Krishna, okay, what else, Krishna? What else can I do? And then Krishna will give you, don't worry, Krishna has plenty of service for you. If he wants to engage you in doing other activities, he will. If he says, no, this is good enough for you, if you can just chant your 16 rounds, offer all of the foodstuffs that you make to me, you know, as prasadam, if you can do that, just offer all your prasadam and don't eat any boga, don't go to restaurants or do things that may not be, you know, Krishna conscious prasadam, and you follow four regulative principles, that's good enough. That's all is required. Now, if you feel like you have the energy and the power to go out and tell others about Krishna consciousness, don't worry, Krishna will give you that service too. But it's not that we can just go and do that. It has to be given to you. Huh? The service is always given to you by the spiritual master. It's not like you can just go and say, oh, I'm going to become a pure devotee. I'm going to become this. No, you don't have the you need the mercy. That's what, which is brought in this case by the incarnations of Vishnu, like Varaha says here. Varaha, the incarnation of Varaha, is mercy, specific knowledge, and also illusion. Therefore, Lord Bord is everything. He's merciful, he's all knowledge, and he's illusion. Yeah. In other words, that you gotta have the mercy. Someone has to give it to you. It's not like you can just go and get the mercy. Oh, I'm gonna get the mercy myself. No. Well, you can be there waiting for the mercy, asking for the mercy. It's good. It's good that you ask for the mercy. But then, you know, that mercy has to be given to you. And then you can go out and distribute books, or you can go and do Harinam, or whatever you're supposed to do. So the preaching always comes from mercy. Did that answer your question, more or less? Because there are still, you understand that there are sages, but there are different gradations of sages. There are sages that are bhajan anandis, and that's all they are supposed to do. And then there are sages that go out into the world. And that doesn't mean that we should say, oh, these sages that are just bhajan anandis, they are not at the highest level. What do you think, Stita Duli?
What do I think? That's a challenging question.
Yeah.
I have to confess, I have a difficult time thinking of the demigods as bhajan anandis. They seem to be pretty active. But, they're devotees, obviously, and to say like they're all like one little realization, I mean, that's not the case. I mean, they're all individuals, just like everybody here. We all one, you know, ISKCON devotees all have this one relationship, you know. So there's that to consider, perhaps. And also, these are the leaders of the demigods. I mean, it's not, you know, this like planet's full of these demigod society people. And these are like, this is like the executive committee, GBC committee of demigods in some of these pastimes. And another thing is, you know, we're reading the Bhagavatam here, and allegedly this is the condensed version of the Bhagavatam, like the Reader's Digest, the abridged version of the Bhagavatam, compared to what's in the heavenly planets. And it seems like every other chapter, these things are going on, you know. It may not be happening every weekend because, you know, these pastimes aren't, you know, could be different yugas, this and that. So it may not be, you know, a regular, you know, like the weekend matinee event, you know, this, you know, we're all. And then there's another way to consider is like when Krishna went into the wrestling arena, all the different participants here, they all saw him, but at different levels of realization. So there's all kinds of, you know, things going on. I mean, Krishna, it's not like, oh, we got the two sound bites, that explains the whole thing. I mean, Krishna's unlimited, he's got unlimited relationships, you know, there's a lot of people up there in those higher realms, you know, even more than in our Bhagavatam class here, including the internet. So, you know, it could be a lot to go.
Well, the demigods also, they have a job. Well, there are sages that don't have the position of the demigods, that they have realized Krishna consciousness, and they are focused on their bhajan. And then there are the demigods. The demigods actually is a job. It's basically, they were given a position to either rule a planet or rule the universe, you know, rule the sun or rule a certain planet. So they can rule like Indra, the weather or the clouds or whatever. Vayu rules the wind. So they have certain positions, and they're very, very powerful because they are given that job, you know. But on the other hand, that is the service that they are doing in the material world. It's just a service to Krishna in one sense. But then you have the other devotees like Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and of course a lot of the great devotees today in ISKCON society that are going out and trying to preach the glories of the holy name. That is, in a sense, direct service to Krishna by telling others about Krishna consciousness to get them out of the material world. They are not trying to influence the weather. They are not trying to influence. They don't have to do that. It's a different service in one sense. Their service is to save the conditioned souls, to enliven them, to bring them to Krishna consciousness so they can leave the material world and go back to the spiritual world, back to Godhead. That's not an easy job, that's for sure. We were very lucky that Prabhupada came, actually. Okay, well,
thank you for explaining the Maya.
Maya, yes.
It's interesting the way you put it. that Bharadev is merciful. He also created this for Kumaras and Jai Vijay to come down is an illusion.
Yes, it's an illusion.
You. That's very nice.
Good well, you need a good antagonist in order to have a good movie. Otherwise, like, who would want to watch it, right?
It is a good movie.
Yes, this is a good movie.
It's a very attractive movie, I think.
That's right.
And I'm glad you put it into movies.
Well, this is what it is. It's a movie. It really is a movie.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Hare Krishna. Happy New Year, everyone.
Hare Krishna.
Jai. Hare Krishna.